Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. Welcome to the show, folks. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we really appreciate that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Doug Campbell is back with us. Doug is a longtime friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust, managing director of the Success Coach. He is a business coach, and he's got some stories to tell us. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to see you again.
It's good,
or hear
good
you.
Good to talk to you. Yes, good to hear you again, too. How are things up there in the beautiful state of Connecticut?
Everything's been great up here. We've had probably the best summer I can ever remember. Been 75 and sunny and perfect weather for 2 weeks straight here, so that's kind of nice.
I was in New York City 4 days last week, and I've never seen the sky over New York City so blue.
And it's great because the U.S. Open, of course, started last night, the tennis open, and great weather. A lot of times it can be quite hot and a little sticky.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was not hot at all. There was no humidity. It was really, really nice last week. So you guys, I hope you guys are really taking advantage of this.
I'm loving it.
Doug, you do a lot of work with small businesses and as a business coach, as a CEO coach, and one of the things that you always do a good job when you join us is you bring us stories, people who are obviously no names, but people who many of these stories hit a lot of us between the eyes, people who are doing things that maybe we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. You got a couple of those with you today, don't you?
Yeah, I brought a couple with me. One I thought was kind of interesting is a client of mine, actually, I work with, and he started a website on boating and was quite successful, sold it. He's starting a new website, and he called me the other day, and the question was, should I go to my current boss? He's working for another company, and he's starting this on the side, and ask him to invest in my company. Mm-hmm. And the previous company he had, the guy he works for now, wanted to buy the company. So he knows him. He has a relationship. The guy knows what he can do. And, of course, he's hesitant because, well, what if the guy says, hey, you're not working for me anymore?
Right.
Now he's doing this on the side.
Right.
And
but if
know,
he brings it up to his boss is going to get the idea that maybe he's not giving his 100% attention to his job.
And part of the thing is, his job is a lot of wheel spinning. It's a larger company, and the people, the parts aren't working together, and they're not executing. And he's a very entrepreneurial guy.
Right.
And my suggestion was, yeah, I would go for it. I would send him an email, see if you could get an audience. And most entrepreneurs like to invest in other entrepreneurs. And he's already got a track record. I think he sold this other business for $2 million, so he was quite successful quite quickly with it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, so the guy works for the owner of the company. His boss owns
a fairly large media company.
Media company. Is his
boss?
Is his
boss all their website and their? He has a television production company. Very talented guy. And,
yeah. So he already has other businesses on the side, and the company knows that he has these businesses on the side.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. And I mean, this actual startup, they've kept kind of low profile.
Yeah.
Because it is something they're really interested in. He is a partner.
Well, if the guy has the ability to prove that his performance on the job is as expected, at least, if not exceptional, then what he does in his own time is his own business. And so if he has reason to believe that his boss might be an investor prospect, then, personally, I don't see anything wrong with doing that, especially if he has a relationship with him. Now,
yeah.
if this is a situation, if he's concerned about losing his job, and this is a situation where because the company's spinning its wheels, as you say, there may be a lot of new pressure on his boss to make sure everybody's, doing 100% and there's no distractions, then where maybe a year ago it would have been a good idea to talk to the boss about this, this year might not be the timing. Maybe the idea is right, but the timing might not be right.
But I think ultimately, I mean, the boss has made a lot of money. He's the owner. He's multi-million dollars, right. Tens of multi-million dollars.
Well, then if that's the case, and he's not if the guy he works for is the owner of the company, then I'd say this guy sees he knows opportunity when he sees it.
And the best use, I think, for this client of mine is to run his own show and have free reign and build. And you know what? I think if he invests in him, he can make more money and do better as an employee than being an employee.
I guess one thing I would ask is, does he actually need a partner? You know, partners. One thing about partners, when you bring them in, they become married to you.
Yeah.
And in order to get rid of them, you got to get a divorce, basically. Break.
But...
Hold on to that thought, Doug. We're gonna take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Doug Campbell. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingham, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do, the show, the archives, the articles, the brain trust, the newsletter, the blog, etc., etc. And, of course, that's smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, the Small Business Knowledge Base, where you get small business answers now, askjim.biz. No barriers to entry, folks. If you can get there, if you can get to either one of our sites, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff, and help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Somebody else who does stuff like that, who helps his clients have the maximum opportunity to be successful, is our good friend Doug Campbell. He's a success coach, the managing director of the Success Coach. Doug, why don't you give us your website, please?
TheSuccessCoach.com, TheSuccessCoach.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. All right, Doug, we were talking about some examples of some of your clients.
Jim, I was going to mention just one other thing before we got into another example. You know, I was just at the National Speakers Association conference, and I'm in the National Speakers Association. One of the speakers was a guy named Tim Ferriss, who you may have had on your show. I don't know. He wrote The 4-Hour Workweek.
Right.
And I just thought it was it was one of those books I kind of had in my radar. I always try and read a lot of books and do a lot of things. And, I went out afterwards. He was such a good speaker and so informative that I bought his book, and I'm going through it. It's got some good tips if you're looking for ideas on time management and how to manage your life and how to be more efficient and, where to make choices on things. A lot of great speakers at that conference. We had Marshall Goldman, who's one of the Goldsmith, who's one of the top executive coaches in the country, and Les Brown, and just a terrific group of speakers. So it's kind of fun. But I had another story that I thought might interest people. This is a guy who is an entrepreneur, and he's running a division of kind of a real estate insurance brokerage business, kind of to keep it broad. Very entrepreneurial, very strong driver, very individualistic, likes to run his own show. And all of a sudden, his company got acquired. And, in the old company, which is a smaller company than the one that acquired him, he ran his own show.
Right.
He's making a very good living.
A lot of independence, making decisions.
A lot of independence.
Being an entrepreneurial employee, wasn't he?
Right. And he's an entrepreneur in a larger company. So now the new company. So we've had quite a few discussions on, let's meet. How do you integrate into this new company, and do you want to integrate into this new company? And now, instead of being, the big fish in the small pond, he's going to be one of several fish, and he kind of is in the New York.
He's filling out a lot of new forms and paper, doing a lot more paperwork.
Well, not yet. He's actually on the committee of six that's kind of designing this new organization and structure, and his boss is taking over the New York office for this company. So he's got a good insight and good sponsor mentor. But what we've focused a lot on is not being quite as entrepreneurial at this point, which is to, listen to people, get to know people individually, and really hold off on kind of being that hard charger. This is the way I think we it's a little counterintuitive for someone who's a kind of a hard-charging entrepreneur type.
But see, this is the kind of thing that happens to a lot of, actually, many small businesses, many entrepreneurs, I should say, who started small businesses, and it happens to almost every one of them, because at some point in time, if you grow your business, if you are an entrepreneur and you want to wake up every morning and make something new happen every day, you have to learn how to channel that energy once your business gets to a certain size, because once it gets to that level, you can't flip it around and turn it over and turn it in a new direction every day. You got to kind of stay where you got to kind of stick to your knitting, and you got to find new ways to channel that entrepreneurial energy, don't you?
You certainly do. And one of his challenges.
Pardon me, Doug. Some people can't do it because they cannot switch from being an entrepreneur to a manager.
Well, and that's exactly what we're focusing on. And his direct report is saying, hey, you got to show me you can manage people. And one of the key people that worked for him before didn't work out. And so we're really focusing on, okay, managing people, spending more time developing people, developing a team, delegating more, which, you know, sometimes it's difficult for people, and also getting to know the key players in this new, larger company.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to carve out a niche that makes sense. Or we also have a backup strategy, which is, if this really doesn't work, it's not what I want, I'm going to go work for over here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to keep reinforcing, and that's where I think sometimes a executive coach is pretty helpful, where, you know, we talk every week, I'm available as needed, but it's reinforcing this message, okay, let's just, before we do anything, you know, too dramatic or too substantial, let's get to know the players, let's get to know the field, let's feel comfortable with the organization, and then let's pick and choose exactly what we want to push for.
Well, it's good that you're helping them develop an alternative plan, but as far as people who are business owners not working for other companies, this is a real gut check for you as you grow your business. You're going to have to decide, okay, you know, it's my nature, it's my inclination to grow this business, to move in this direction, to get to this size, but are you going to be happy when you get there, and are you the right person to lead this company as it becomes more mature and a little more hidebound, not as nimble as it used to be, and you got to develop more systems and policies? Is that going to make you happy? So make sure when you grow your business that you're growing it into something that you can manage and that makes you happy. Going to take a quick break. Right back with Doug Campbell. Got at least one more story after these messages. Stay with us. Little Eric bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, a small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Campbell. He is a business coach, an executive coach. And Doug, give us that website again one more time, please.
The Success Coach, thesuccesscoach.com, www.thesuccesscoach.com.
Check it out, and they can find out more about what you do and all the things that, how you help people when they get there, right?
Yes. That's good.
All right.
But, yeah.
You've been telling us, you've been sharing some ideas, or some stories, I should say, about some of your clients, without names, of course, folks, just to kind of throw out some ideas on, you know, some ways that he's helping people that might be some things that you've experienced with your small business. So, Doug, you got one more story for us?
Well, one more I thought was an interesting one. A guy named George who has started a magazine. And, I see this a lot where he's been doing this for about a year, and just met with him a couple weeks ago, and we sat down, kind of reviewed his financials, reviewed where he was, and he basically said, I'm losing money on every issue. And, I think a lot of times people wait kind of maybe too long before they get some perspective. And he had talked to some other people, but I don't think he had kind of any formal process to think through this publication.
The print business.
Very difficult business. And this
Well,
this
it was a difficult business. It was a difficult business before the Internet.
Yeah.
Now it's almost impossible. I mean, I know some people who've started up magazines in the last 5 or 6 years, and they've done okay. But there are a lot of print companies that were you know, legacy companies of the 20th century, maybe the 19th century, and they're not being profitable in the 21st century.
Well, but this is a little. I have started a newspaper. I've started five businesses, so I've got a lot of experience and kind of have watched the print world. And basically, he has a specialty publication, so he comes
That's
out
what
with
you got to have, yeah.
Specialty publication and
niche.
Regional. It kind of covers like five towns. So
right.
But the one of the immediate suggestions, well, I'm going to publish this 10 times a year, and I immediately said, well, why don't you publish this 6 times a year? Because
mm-hmm.
people don't expect it. It's mailed for free.
Right.
And make sure each issue is very profitable when you send. You know, he's got some good advertising. He just didn't think through the model, and he hasn't thought through the editorial model
mm-hmm.
and kind of part of it as well. And he actually is serving, we live in an area where you've got these small towns, but they have common issues like education, they have transportation, things like that. And that's the things he's trying to cover. So I think sometimes, up front, particularly if you're being a pioneer, doing something a little different, and this is quite innovative, and I think he's got a neat idea, you got to really think through the issue and then also be willing to make changes very quickly. And I think he was too slow to do that, too slow to respond. And, he's breaking even on the publication, but he's not making enough to cover his family.
Well, when I remember the story when USA Today came out 25 or so years ago, they projected that they would lose money for 5 years.
Yeah, Newsstat, I think it was his name.
Yeah.
Al Newsstat, yeah.
And so, he needs to understand when an apartment complex opens up, they expect to lose money for the first year, two, or three. Anytime you launch a new business, folks, it's the exception, Doug, isn't it? Rather than the rule that you actually have positive cash flow and a profit on the bottom line, even in the first year, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of times what I'll do is draw a line under the break even, and how far down does it go, and when does it turn up and go
right.
positive? And it's usually between 6 and 18 months. And the question is how far. When I started the Sylvan Learning Center, the first one on the East Coast, actually that was only 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
My plan was for 4. So, it's tricky. But in his case, the way he's publishing this, if he gets enough advertising, he knows when he publishes he could make, $10,000 an issue.
Right.
People aren't time sensitive to it, so he could hold it. And also tighten the editorial and go after certain types of advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
But the
main thing to me for everybody else to learn from this guy is you've got to develop a very well done cash flow statement, don't you? You've got to develop
yeah.
a cash flow projection. Never mind the profit, folks. You got to make sure that you can pay your bills. Before you make profits, you got to worry about the cash, don't you, Doug?
Cash flow, cash is king, as we all know.
Yeah,
got to do
yeah.
it.
So that cash flow statement, folks, you've heard us talking about many times on the show over the years. You got to have that. Hey, Doug, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing your stories. I'm sure most of us saw some of us of our story in your stories, and we appreciate it very much. The website is thesuccesscoach.com, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Jim, good to be with you.
You too, Doug. Doug Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get him back another day. He'll bring some more good stories for us. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.